When I first moved to Chicago from my sleepy town in Illinois, I snagged a job at a cozy bookstore, sandwiched between a cafe and a thrift store. Working the night shift had its perks. Fewer customers, the comforting aroma of old books, and the freedom to play my favorite playlists. Most nights, it was the same crowd. College students looking for textbooks, night owls searching for a late night read, and the occasional tourist. But there was this one guy. He started showing up a few months back, always around 9:30 p.m., a half an hour before we closed. He'd roam the aisles, occasionally picking up a book, but never heading to the counter to buy anything. I tried approaching him a couple of times, thinking he might need help finding a book. But each time, he'd just give me this look and walk straight out the door. At first, I brushed it off as just another city quirk. But as the weeks went by, his visits became a regular thing. Every night, as the clock inched closer to closing time, I'd find myself glancing at the entrance, waiting for this oddball to show up. The routine became almost comical. I'd be tidying up the store, restocking shelves, and there he'd be, right on cue, pushing the door open. My co-workers noticed it too. Jenny, who worked the register with me, would often make jokes about him being my shadow. But deep down, I think she found it as unsettling as I did. Whenever he walked in, we'd look at each other, knowing how weird the whole situation was with this guy. One night, he did something different. Instead of his usual aimless wandering, he headed straight for the true crime section. After a few minutes, he approached the counter with a single book in hand. The title made my skin crawl. It read, "Obsession, the Mind of a Stalker." He didn't say a word, just pointed at the summary on the back cover, indicating he wanted me to read it out loud. As I read, I could feel his eyes on me, studying every nuance of my reaction. When I finished, he simply smiled, placed the book back on the counter, and left. The weeks progressed, and his presence seemed to follow me outside the bookstore as well. I'd spot him while grabbing coffee at the cafe, or when I was window shopping at other stores on the block. It was subtle, but he was always there, lurking in the background, watching. One night, after wrapping up my shift, I decided to face this guy head on. I hung around outside my job, trying to blend in near the thrift store. Time felt like it stood still, and my nerves were shot. Then, there he was, walking out from the dim streetlight. I stepped up, blocking his path, and let him know I wanted answers about why he was following me. He didn't respond. He just gave me this blank stare that filled me with crippling fear. Suddenly, he pulled an old beat-up photo from his pocket. I damn near had a mini heart attack thinking of all the things it could have been. The photo showed a woman who looked very similar to me, but it was clearly old. The most disturbing part was her eyes. They were violently scratched out. He held it up next to my face and made a chilling remark about how much I resemble the woman in the picture. He looked from the picture to my face repeatedly, as if comparing the two. Suddenly, the loud honk of a passing car broke the silence. My attention shifted for just a brief moment, and when I turned back to face him, he had disappeared. I searched everywhere, down the streets, the alleys, but he had vanished. The only thing left was a god-awful memory of that disturbing photo. After that night, I couldn't catch a break. That old photo, with the woman who looked just like me, was stuck in my head. Every time I tried to chill out or get some sleep, it'd pop up in my mind. My apartment didn't feel safe anymore. Every little noise had me jumping up to check the locks and look through the blinds. I tried to switch things up, hoping it'll throw him off. I changed my shifts at work, took random routes home, even stayed at a friend's place some nights. But it felt like he was always a step behind. More than once, I'd catch a glimpse of someone in the crowd or see a reflection that looked just like him. But when I double-check, he'd be gone. It was like he was playing some sick, twisted game, always reminding me he was there. The worst part is that it never stopped. Every day is a guessing game, wondering if today is the day I'll see him again. I'm constantly paranoid, thinking he's close by. The city, which I used to roam freely, has become this giant maze where I feel like the prey. And the feeling that he's always lurking somewhere close has never left. It's been a nightmare that I can't wake up from. I'd been working the overnight shift at the 911 dispatch center for about 10 years. Most nights, it was the same old stuff, like car accidents, loud parties, and sometimes more serious things like break-ins. But every now and then, something weird would pop up, and you just scratch your head, wondering what the heck was going on. After leaving the army, I needed a job that felt important, but wasn't too wild. Dispatching seemed like a good fit. I'd seen a lot in the city, both good and bad. My buddies at work would always say I was the calmest guy in the room, probably because of my army days. But in that night, man, it was something else. The night started like any other. A few calls here and there, mostly routine stuff. I was leaning back in my chair, thinking about a barbecue I had with my army buddies last summer, when this one call came in. It felt different right from the start. The lady on the line sounded real scared. She kept going on about being trapped, and there was this weird static in the background. It reminded me of the noise old radios make. I tried to figure out where she was, but she just kept repeating herself. It was like she couldn't hear me or something. I've had some strange calls before, and this one was right up there with the weirdest. When I checked where the call was coming from, I was taken aback. The system showed it was a landline from this old run-down building in downtown. I knew that place. As kids, we joke about it being haunted and dare each other to go in. We always laughed it off. There were even stories about someone disappearing there about 20 years ago, but I always thought it was just like an urban legend or something. I got the cops on it right away and gave them the address. I tried to keep the lady talking, telling her help was on the way. Her voice started fading, the static got worse, and then there was just silence. The line went dead. I sat there for a moment, staring at the screen, hoping for a callback. It never came. The cops were at the old building pretty quickly. They radioed in, letting me know they had a tough time getting in because everything was locked tight. Once inside, they described it as a place that time forgot. The real kicker came when they went upstairs. They found an old phone, the kind with a rotary dial, just lying there, off the hook. The cord was cut, so there was no way it should have been making calls. As they relayed this, a memory from years ago hit me. There was talk in town about a woman who vanished near that building. She was never found, and over time, people just stopped talking about it. But with that unsettling call and the discovery of the old disconnected phone, things started to click in a really eerie way. Inside, they found remnants of someone's life, like old photos, letters, and a diary. They didn't go into specifics, but they mentioned the diary painted a grim picture of the last days of someone trapped and alone. After the discovery, the town was buzzing nonstop. Everyone was talking about the hidden room, and rumors about Michelle's diary began to circulate. Word was that she used to live in that building before it turned into a creepy, forgotten place. People whispered about the diary's content, saying it was a deep dive into someone's darkest moments, full of despair and loneliness. Then, people in town began sharing their own stories. Some remembered hearing odd sounds from the building or catching glimpses of strange lights from its windows. They had always chalked it up to the building being old or some kids playing tricks up there. With everything out in the open, the city decided to seal off the building. There were even plans to set up a memorial for Michelle. Getting back to my regular shifts was a challenge. Every call that came in made me think about the stories we might not be catching, the voices we might be missing. That whole ordeal with Michelle's call and the rumors about the diary was a wake-up call. It showed me that sometimes the things we overlook or dismiss might be the most important of all. I wasn't exactly thrilled about starting a new job, especially not at a 24-hour convenience store. But after getting laid off from my last gig and dealing with a breakup that felt like it came out of a really bad movie, I needed the money. The store was on the edge of town, not the kind of place you'd expect anything exciting to happen. Just a spot where people went to grab snacks and fill up their gas tanks in the middle of the night. The first couple of nights were pretty boring. I mostly just restocked shelves and mopped the floors and rang up the occasional customer. The manager, some guy named Carlos, told me the night shift was always slow. He seemed kind of relieved about that, like he was glad nothing weird ever happened. But after a week or so, I started noticing something strange. Every night, around 1 a.m., this old white van would pull into the parking lot and just sit there. The windows were so tinted, I couldn't see who was inside. And the weirdest part was that nobody ever got out. It just stayed parked until the sun started to come up, and then it would take off. The van was seriously starting to weird me out. Every night, just before 1 a.m., I'd find myself staring out the window, waiting for it. And there it would be, the same old dirty white van, parking in the same damn spot. I tried to brush it off, thinking maybe someone was just taking a break or waiting for someone. But the same routine, night after night, was starting to freak me out. One time, while handing over the shift, Carlos told me he remembered that van from way back when he started working there. It used to show up all the time, then one day, just stopped. Now, out of nowhere, it was back. He didn't know why, but I could tell it bothered him. He even joked that maybe it was haunted or something, but he didn't sound like he was really laughing. The van looked old. The paint was peeling, and it had a bunch of dents. But the thing that got me the most were those super dark windows. I tried a bunch of times to see inside, but it was impossible. And every morning, right as the sun was coming up, it would just drive away. That night was just off. I was waiting for the van, like I always did. When it finally showed up, I thought it'd be a good time to take out the trash, maybe get a closer look without being too obvious. The van parked in its usual spot, right next to the dumpster. With the trash bag in hand, I made my way out, trying to act like I wasn't paying attention. As I walked past it, some old-timey music came from the van. It was the kind of stuff you'd hear at your grandparents' house or a horror movie, not something you'd expect in the middle of the night at your job. The bright headlights made it impossible to see inside, so I just focused on getting to the dumpster and back. But after tossing the trash, I noticed the van's sliding door was open just a crack. Then, a photo slid out from the small opening, landing on the ground. The door slowly began to close again. I didn't dare move. I just stood there, frozen in place, not knowing what the hell to do. I barely had time to process it when the van's engine roared to life. It took off, leaving me in the parking lot with that old photo still on the ground. Once the van peeled out of the parking lot, I walked over and picked up the photo. It showed the store, but it looked way older, and there was a guy in it, looking a lot like Carlos. That whole situation was the most bizarre experience I ever had in my life. That photo was way beyond creepy, and it left me with way too many questions. I showed Carlos the photo the next morning. His face went a shade paler, and he admitted he'd seen it before. Some old-timer had shown it to him when he was new to the job. He didn't say much more, but it was clear he wanted to put it all behind him. The van never came back after that night. The store went back to its regular pattern of nightly customers and the occasional mishap. But Carlos and I, we changed. We'd catch each other glancing at the parking spot where the van used to be, especially around 1 a.m. there was this unspoken agreement between us to keep the story to ourselves. Time went on, and I found a new job across town. Carlos stayed working there, and we lost touch. But every now and then, when I see a white van, I can't help but replay that creepy night in my head. I still don't understand the significance of the photo and why Carlos was the focus of it. But whatever it is, I just hope Carlos is okay. I was in my early 20s, fresh out of college and working night shifts at a local supermarket to pay off my student loans. The town I lived in was honestly pretty boring, so the night shifts were usually uneventful. I spent most of my time restocking shelves and listening to music. The store was quiet at night, just the hum of the refrigerators and the occasional sound of a car passing by. We're open 24 hours, which is maybe pretty rare depending on where you live. The night in question started off like any other. I clocked in at 10 p.m., right after finishing a quick dinner at home. My manager, Mr. Francis, was about to leave and he gave me the usual rundown. Keep an eye on the store, handle any late night shoppers, and keep the store clean and tidy. I nodded, already used to the routine. Mr. Francis was a kind man in his 50s, always looking out for his employees. He trusted me with the store, and I didn't want to let him down. The first few hours were mundane. I checked inventory, organized the shelves, and mopped the floor. It was around 1 a.m. when things started to get weird. I remember checking my watch, thinking about taking a break, when the automatic doors at the front of the store slid open. Two men walked in. They were dressed in hoodies and jeans, and had this sketchy vibe about them. These guys weren't your typical late-night snack hunters. They walked in with a purpose, but seemed to have no interest in buying anything. They lingered around the aisles, their movements suspicious and slow. I tried not to stare, but I couldn't help but keep my guard up. There was just an aggressive air about them that set off alarm bells in my head. I decided to stay behind the counter, keeping an eye on them from a distance. As time ticked by, their presence became more intimidating. They kept whispering to each other, occasionally glancing my way. It was like they were planning something, but I couldn't figure out what. I remember wishing someone else would come into the store, just so I wouldn't be alone. But it was late, and the streets outside were empty. I felt isolated and vulnerable. Eventually, they approached the counter. That's when things really escalated. I cautiously greeted them and asked if they needed help with anything, but they didn't answer. Instead, they just stared at me, their expressions hard and unforgiving. It was like they were sizing me up, deciding what to do with me. I had a bad feeling in my stomach, a mix of fear and anticipation. One of them, the taller one, finally spoke. His voice was low and menacing. He told me not to speak or move and to step aside. His partner, meanwhile, jumped over the counter. Internally, I was screaming like a 9-year-old little girl. I did as he asked and moved aside. I noticed the first guy's hand inside his jacket, and it hit me that he might be carrying a gun. I was terrified and had no idea how I was going to get out of this mess. The guy who had jumped over the counter started grabbing stuff from the shelves behind me. He was frantic, stuffing things into a bag without any real pattern. It was bizarre seeing him just grab random items, like a bottle of ketchup, a pack of batteries, even a couple of magazines. Meanwhile, the guy with his hand in his jacket, he was watching me, making sure I didn't try anything. I didn't dare to move, not even an inch. I just stood there, hoping none of this spiraled out of control. Then, the guy with his hand in his jacket ordered me to open the cash register. My hands were trembling as I did what he said, I remember the sound of the cash drawer popping open and the feeling of cold metal as I scooped out the bills. He had brought another bag and I started filling it with the cash. I was trying to stay calm, but inside I was panicking. This wasn't just a simple theft anymore. It was an armed robbery and I was right in the middle of it. Right when I thought things couldn't get any worse, the door chimed again. I expected it to be another customer, maybe someone who could help. But to my surprise, it was two other men. They walked in casually, but there was something about them that caught my attention. They didn't look like regular customers. They seemed alert, their eyes scanning the store quickly. It was then I realized they weren't just any customers. They were undercover cops. The atmosphere in the store changed instantly. The cops pulled out their guns and ordered the robbers to drop their bags and put their hands in the air. It all happened so fast. One minute, I was fearing for my life, and the next, these cops had everything under control. The relief I felt was indescribable. I just stood there, frozen, watching as the situation unfolded. These officers weren't there to play any games. They told the robbers to get on the floor. The robbers complied, lying face down with their hands behind their backs. It was a surreal sight, seeing these two guys who had just been threatening me, now completely subdued. The cops handcuffed them and started reading them their rights. It was like something out of a movie, only it was happening right in front of me. I later learned that these undercover cops had been following these guys for most of the night. Apparently, there had been a tip about their activities. These robbers weren't new to this kind of thing. They had a reputation and had caught the attention of local law enforcement. That night, their luck had run out. In the moment, it seemed like pure luck of the cops arriving when they did, but they had this time down to a science. The aftermath of the incident left me shaken. I remember giving my statement to the police, my hands still shaking. The cops were really understanding and patient with me. They told me I did the right thing by not trying to be a hero. I was physically unharmed, but mentally, it took me a while to get over it. The image of those guys, the fear, and the sound of the cops bursting in, it stayed with me for a long time. Working night shifts was never the same after that. Every time the door chimed, my heart felt like it stopped for a second. It was a night I would never forget, a reminder of how quickly things can go wrong. I remember driving my big rig through the heart of the country one night. I've been an over-the-road trucker for about 20 years now. It's a lonely job, but I like the solitude and the open road. I usually have my routes planned out, but that night, I decided to take a shortcut through some back roads. It was around 11 p.m., and the only thing guiding me was the dim glow of my headlights and the stars above. I remember thinking how quiet it was, aside from the sound of my engine and the wind blowing in from the open window. That was my life. Me, my truck, and endless miles of road. The route I chose was this old road snaking through dense forests. It's not a well-traveled path, but it cuts off a good hour from my journey. As I was making my way, the air started to get heavy, and a thick fog began to roll in. I've driven through fog before, but this was different. It was like a thick blanket covering everything in sight. I had to slow down to a crawl, my hands gripping the steering wheel just a little bit tighter. I could barely see a few feet ahead of me. It was kind of spooky, but I had deadlines to meet, so I kept going. Suddenly, the fog got so dense I had to stop. I couldn't see the road anymore. I was in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by trees and blanketed in this thick, soupy fog. I switched off the engine, thinking maybe it'd clear up in a few minutes. The silence was deafening. All I could hear was my own breathing and the occasional drop of water from the trees. I remember feeling like something was up. I've always been a practical guy. I grew up in a small town in Ohio where you learn to trust your gut. My dad was a hunter, and he taught me everything about the woods. I knew the sounds, the movements, the way the forest talks. That night, the forest was saying something was wrong. I leaned back in my seat, trying to ignore the weirdness I was feeling at the time. That's when I heard a soft thud from the back of the truck. It was like something, or someone, was moving around up there. At first, I thought it was just a tree branch that fell off and hit the truck. But then I heard it again, louder this time, like footsteps walking from the back of the trailer to the front, right over my head. That's when I started to get a little nervous. I locked the doors instinctively. I reached for my flashlight, shining it through the windows, but all I could see was the white wall of fog. The footsteps kept moving, slow and steady. I couldn't make sense of it. No animal I knew moved like that. Then, both my doors started rattling, like someone was trying to get in. I nearly jumped out of my skin. I peered through the fogged up windows, but I couldn't see anyone. The rattling got more intense, as if someone was desperately trying to break in. I was frozen in place, my mind racing through all the possible scenarios. Was it a person? An animal? My hands were shaking, but I was too scared to move. It was in that moment of utter confusion and fear that I heard the screeching. It was this high-pitched, unearthly sound. It didn't sound like any animal I'd ever heard. Remember, I've spent years in the woods. I know the cries of foxes, the howls of wolves. But this was different. It was like something straight out of a nightmare. It echoed through the fog, causing the hairs on my arms and neck to spike up. I sat there paralyzed, wondering what in the world was happening outside my truck. The screeching continued, each sound more terrifying than the last. It was like nothing I'd ever heard, not in all my years of trucking or growing up in the woods. I was still trying to make sense of it all when the noises suddenly stopped. Just like that, silence. I could hear my heart pounding in my ears. I sat there, holding my breath, waiting for something, anything, to happen. But there was just silence, the kind that makes your ears ring. I checked my watch. It was nearly midnight. I remember thinking how I'd never felt so alone. After what felt like years, the fog started to lift. Slowly at first, then, all at once, as if someone had flipped a switch. I could see the road again, the trees, the night sky. Everything seemed normal, except for the cold sweat running down my back. I didn't know what to do, whether to drive away as fast as I could, or wait it out. My mind was racing with questions. What was that sound? What was moving on top of my truck? And who or what was trying to get in? I mustered up the courage to step out of the cab. The air was cold and crisp, unlike the warmth inside my truck. I grabbed my flashlight and cautiously walked around the vehicle. There was nothing. No footprints, no marks, nothing to indicate someone or something had been there. It was as if the whole thing had been a figment of my imagination, but I knew it wasn't. The fear I felt, the sounds I heard, they were real. I climbed back into my truck, still shaking. I had to make a decision, stay or go. I opted to keep moving. I couldn't shake the feeling that something was still out there, watching me. As I drove away, I kept checking my mirrors, sort of expecting to see something, but there was nothing. The road was clear, and the night was as calm as ever. I felt a mix of relief and confusion. What just happened? Was I losing my mind? The rest of the drive was uneventful, but I couldn't stop thinking about that night. I've told a few buddies of mine about it, and they think I just ran into some weird weather phenomenon or that it was all in my head. But I know what I heard and felt. It wasn't normal. It wasn't something you can just explain away. As a hunter, I've been in some hairy situations, but nothing compares to the fear I felt that night. I've been back on that road a few times since then. I haven't experienced anything like that night again. There's a part of me that wants to know what happened, to find an explanation, but there's another part that's just too scared to find out. That experience has stayed with me, like a shadow I can't escape. It's been 3 months since that night. I still drive, still haul loads across the country, but something's changed. I'm more aware of things now. I don't take shortcuts anymore, especially not at night. And whenever I see fog rolling in, I get this tight feeling in my chest, a reminder of that night. I don't know what I encountered on that road, and maybe I never will, but it's a story I won't forget. I had been on the force for about 6 months, still pretty green, but starting to feel like I was finding my feet. My shifts had varied, but night shifts in our quiet town usually meant routine patrols and the odd noise complaint. That night, it was just me and the cruiser, cruising along a road that was more trees than streetlights. It was about 2 a.m., and everything was eerily quiet. The kind of silence that makes your own heartbeat sound loud. I remember expecting it to be another easygoing shift. The road I was on, it wasn't much of a road, really. More like a path that cars could use. It was surrounded by dense forest, the kind that looks like it's straight out of a fairy tale during the day, but turns into something else at night. I always felt a bit on edge driving through it, even though I'd done it countless times. As I was driving, the beam from my headlights caught something. It was a car, parked right up against the tree line, which was odd and technically not allowed. Now, this wasn't the kind of place you'd stop for a scenic view, especially not in the dead of night. My first thought was car trouble, but something inside me said otherwise. The car was parked too deliberately, too close to the trees. I slowed down, pulling up behind it. The red and blue lights from my cruiser cutting through the darkness. I sat there for a moment, just looking at the car. I decided I had to check it out. After all, it's part of my job to check out stuff like this. I got out of the cruiser, my hand resting on my service weapon. The night was still. The only sound was of my boots crunching on the gravel. I shone my flashlight towards the car. There was no movement, no sign of anyone around. It was like the car had been abandoned. I called out, standard police stuff, asking if anyone was there and needed help. My voice seemed to disappear into the night, swallowed up by the trees. For a few minutes, there was nothing. Just the sound of my own breathing. I was about to head back to my cruiser to start running the plate when I heard it. A scream, distant and chilling, coming from deep within the forest. It was a woman's scream, full of terror and pain. My heart raced as I grabbed my radio, quickly informing dispatch of my location and asking for backup. I remember initially thinking it was probably some teenagers messing around, but the fear in that scream, it sounded real, too real. I had to make a decision, wait for backup or go in after whoever it was. Every second counted. I chose to go into the forest. The trees seemed to close in around me as I moved, my flashlight and gun my only companions. The woman's screams continued. each one reminding me just how urgent this was. I was trying to pinpoint the direction, moving as fast as I could without making too much noise. I kept updating dispatch, my voice low and steady, even though inside I was anything but calm. This was the first real test of my career. Up until then, it had been mostly routine stuff, nothing that really got the adrenaline pumping. I remember thinking about my dad, how he'd been a cop too, how he used to tell me about the importance of staying cool under pressure. I was doing my best to live up to that, to be the officer he always said I could be. But this was unlike anything I had prepared for. As I moved deeper into the forest, I could hear the woman's screams get louder and more desperate. It was hard to tell how far she was, the forest distorting sounds, making them seem closer than farther away. I was on full alert, every sense heightened, looking for any sign of movement, any clue as to what I was walking into. The forest was dense, the undergrowth making it hard to move quickly. But I knew I had to get to her and find out what was happening. I kept thinking about what I might find, trying to prepare myself for the worst. I was running now, the screams guiding me. It was tricky, running in the forest with only a flashlight and a gun, not knowing what I'd find. My heart was pounding, my breath coming in short bursts. I remember thinking, this is it. This is the moment you train for. Don't mess it up. I was scared, sure, but there was also this rush, this feeling of being exactly where I was meant to be. I finally reached a clearing, and that's where I found her. She was tied up, hanging from a tree, about 5 feet off the ground. It was a horrific sight, something out of a nightmare. She was screaming that he's out there, over and over. Her eyes were wide with terror, her body shaking. I felt absolutely terrible seeing her like that. I quickly radioed for backup, telling them I found the victim and needed immediate assistance. I had to keep my cool and stay focused. I reassured the woman, told her help was on the way, that she was safe now. But I could see in her eyes, she didn't believe it. She kept looking into the forest, like she expected someone, or something, to come charging out at any moment. I did a quick sweep of the area, gun at the ready. I didn't know if the attacker was still nearby, watching us. The forest was silent now. The only sound was of the woman's sobs and the occasional crack of a branch under my feet. It was eerie how quickly the forest had gone from a place of terror to one of almost unnatural calm. The backup arrived, a whole slew of officers, lights flashing, cutting through the darkness. They took over, freeing the woman, getting her to safety. She was in bad shape, bruised, beaten, and terrified. It was a relief to see her in the hands of professionals, to know she was going to get the help she needed. After the woman was taken care of, the search for the attacker began. We combed the forest, but found nothing. No sign of whoever did this. It was frustrating, knowing they were out there somewhere, probably watching us. The investigation continued for weeks, but we never found them. We ran the plates of the car, but as expected, it turned out to be stolen. That night stayed with me, haunted me. I'd wake up in the middle of the night, heart racing, the woman's scream still ringing in my ears. I really haven't been the same since that night. It made me see the job and the world differently. I thought I knew what being a cop meant, thought I was ready for anything. But that night, it showed me there's always something new, something unexpected. It taught me to be more cautious, to never underestimate a situation, no matter how routine it might seem. Looking back, I realized that night was a turning point in my career. It made me take the job more seriously, made me understand the responsibility I had. I still think about that woman, about what she went through. I hope she's okay now, that she's found some peace. As for me, I'm still on the force, still doing my best to protect and serve. But I'll never forget that night, the night that tested everything I thought I knew about being a cop.